All those who come to the stable see God's love made flesh. May we come too and receive the gifts he wishes to give us in Christ. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O
Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be enrolled, each to his own town. And Joseph too went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, that is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, the time came for her to have her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now, there were shepherds in that region living in the fields and keeping the night watch over their flock. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were struck with great fear. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you, who is Christ and Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find an infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Some years ago now, when the Jordan Marsh Company still had stores all over New England, some of you more mature people here, I'm sure, remember Jordan Marsh. It was one of the largest department stores in New England. Almost every mall had a Jordan Marsh outlet. But the main store was down in Boston at what they call City Crossing. It was where Washington Street and Boylston Street came together. It was a huge department store, 6 or 7 stories. And they were famous for their display windows on Washington Street. When you walked along Washington Street, one display window after another, big, huge windows. And during the year, you'd have all kinds of their wares displayed there. But at Christmas time, they were famous for their Christmas windows. 5 windows, all dedicated to the theme of Christmas. As you walked along, the first window said, they all had big signs over them. First window said, "The smell of Christmas is in the kitchen." And there in the window was this huge old wrought iron black stove. And on the burners were all these pots and pans that were bubbling. The tops were moving on them, you know, and you could see the steam coming out of the steam kettle and all that. The smell of Christmas is in the kitchen. He went to the second window. The sign read, "The taste of Christmas is in the dining room." And there laid out in the window was this huge, beautiful dining room table covered with Christmas tablecloths and Christmas cutlery, and on the table was a big, huge turkey and all the fixings around it, candles on the table. Third window, "The color of Christmas is in the tree." And there in that window was this big, huge, beautiful blue spruce, star on the top, bulbs, lights, icicles, just beautiful. And underneath, all kinds of packages wrapped in all kinds of different paper. Gorgeous. Fourth window said, "The sounds of Christmas are in the carols." And there they had life-size marionettes, like a whole family. They were obviously outdoors. You had snow on the ground, and they had red rosy cheeks and scarves wrapped around them, and their mouths were moving back and forth, and you could hear Christmas carols. Then you came to the last window, and the last sign read, "But the heart and soul of Christmas is here." And there laid out was a magnificent nativity set. Joseph, Mary, the child Jesus, the animals, the wise men. But the soul, the heart and soul of Christmas is here. Beautiful. You have the smells, you have the taste, you have the colors, you have the sounds, but the heart and soul of Christmas is here. That's what we come to celebrate this evening, isn't it? We love all the other things about Christmas, but the heart and soul of Christmas is here, where we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. How would you describe the meaning of the heart and soul of Christmas? How would we explain that? What does it mean, the heart and soul of Christmas? I suppose we could define it in many different ways. But some years ago now, a British historian by the name of H.G. Wells had an interesting take on the meaning of Christmas, the heart and soul of Christmas. Now, H.G. Wells, his name may sound familiar to you because in this country he is best known for his science fiction books. He wrote The Time Machine and The War of the Worlds and other scientific books, but he was a historian as well. And he wrote someplace once that there is no person ever born that has a greater effect on humanity than Jesus Christ. He said, even if you don't believe that Christ is the Son of God, there is nobody whose message has had a greater significance and influence on the world than Jesus Christ. He said, the message that God is a father who loves every single one of his children, and that every single one of his children should consider themselves brothers and sisters. He said that message has transformed the meaning of life in this world. No one has ever had a message that has transformed the meaning of the world the way that message does. So what H.G. Wells said is that when you look into the creche, when you see the heart and soul of Christmas, what you are seeing there, he says, is a revolution. Christ comes to start a revolution, a whole different way of life in this world, where every one of us is a beloved son or daughter of God, and we all are brothers and sisters. That's a whole different way of looking at life in the world, a revolution. So maybe we should look tonight for a moment on those two points. First of all, that every single one of us is a beloved son or daughter of God. Now, Christ teaches us that in many ways. Remember the beautiful parable of the lost sheep. Leave the 99, go looking for the one that's lost. Every one precious. And he shows that in what he does. Remember how he deals with the Samaritan woman at the well, Zacchaeus the tax collector, outcasts. Every single one precious to the Father. Nobody that is not precious. You and me. Nobody not precious to the Father. There was a beautiful modern experience of that a few years ago out at this little parish out in Los Angeles, California. It was a little parish right on the edge of the inner city. And one Christmas Eve, the people were all gathered there, the parish, they had their evening service, and they were there, and they were in the little room adjoining the church having a little social afterwards. Now, you have to understand that this parish was right on the, as I say, the edge of the inner city. So there were a lot of street people around. There was one in particular that was very well known by the people of the area. They called him Phil. Now, they don't know what his real name was, but that's the name they had given him, Phil. Phil was of indeterminate age, scraggly hair, long beard, shabby clothes. He slept on the streets, wouldn't accept a room. He'd go into a little mission once in a while for a meal, take a shower. But Phil seemed to every day have the same route. He'd wander through the neighborhood every day in the same route. You'd see him almost every day at the same time in the same place. And when Phil walked along the street, he was always like looking off in the distance. He never looked at you, never looked at, just walking and mumbling to himself, you know. Phil was one of those poor, lost souls. But on this particular night, that Christmas Eve, the people there and gathered in that little hall, all of a sudden heard singing coming from the church. So a couple of them went out and looked and peeked in, and what did they see? Standing right in front of the manger was Phil. Phil was standing there with his arms stretched out, singing, and singing in a beautiful tenor voice. It almost sounded like a trained voice. He was singing, "O holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth." And he sang there, stood there, and he sang beautifully. And the two people who were watching this from the back were amazed. They were awestruck. Phil sang, and when he finished, he put down his arms, walked out of the church back out onto the street. See, Phil was lost, but he wasn't lost so much that God couldn't get to him. He wasn't lost so much that God couldn't touch his heart. He wasn't lost so much that God couldn't help him understand that God loved him. And you know, you and I, my brothers and sisters, we're lost sometimes. Sometimes we get lost. We get lost in sadness. We get lost in failure, lost in disappointment, lost in sin. But here's the important thing. We're never too lost for the love of God to find us. We're never too lost for God's love to find us. Because every one of us is precious to him. That's the revolution that Christ brings. The revolution. Second part of that message of the Lord, that because we're all sons and daughters of a loving Father, we're all brothers and sisters. And we see that from the very beginning. Who is it that's invited to the manger? Who are the two groups of people that get a special invitation to the manger? The shepherds by the angel, and the wise men by the star. But look at those people. The shepherds are poor, the wise men are rich. The shepherds are more or less ignorant, the wise men are wise. The shepherds are Jews, the wise men are Gentiles. From the very beginning, it's clear, everybody is invited to the creche, and that makes everybody brothers and sisters. Everybody. St. Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, there is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. So all the things that we allow to separate us in the world, all those things should be overcome because we're all brothers and sisters, meant to be. There was a wonderful experience of that during the Second World War in a little town in England called Warrington. Warrington is kind of like halfway between Liverpool and Manchester, up in the middle part of England. And of course, during the war, they had blackouts so that they wouldn't get bombed. And it was Christmas Eve again, and all the Catholics in town were on the way to church. No lights, no Christmas lights, no Christmas trees, nothing like that, making their way to midnight mass. They go into the church with all the windows blacked out. And probably about 11:45, this was midnight mass, about 11:45, the church is all filled, jammed, except for two rows in the very back on either side. And just about midnight, who comes in for those two rows but German and Italian prisoners of war? Because there was a prisoner of war camp just outside of Warrington. And they brought the Catholic German and the Catholic Italians, prisoners of war, into the church for midnight mass. And they're all sitting up back. Just before mass was to begin, the pastor came out. Father Rochefort was his name. And he announced to the people he had bad news for them. The bad news was that their organist was sick and couldn't come to the service, so they couldn't have any music or any singing that night. Everybody was, you know, oh, how awful, how terrible, and they wanted to sing. All of a sudden, up at the back, one of the German prisoners leaned over to say something to the guard. The guard came down and said something to Father Rochefort, and Father Rochefort said yes. The German prisoner got up and came down and went to the organ and began to play. He played so beautifully, so wonderfully, all the songs everybody knew. People were weeping in the church because that night, Germans, Italians, British people all saw something that they forgot too easily. They were all bound together by something more important than their country, their race, their language. They shouldn't be enemies because they were bound together in the life of Christ. Bound together in the life of Christ. So for you and me, you know, what's more important? The color of our skin? The language we speak? The neighborhood we live in? Whether we vote red or vote blue? What's more important, those things or the fact that we are all called to live in the life of Christ? What's more important? We know what we make more important, but what should be more important? That's the revolution, you see. That's the revolution that we should see when we look into the heart and soul of Christmas. Back in the Middle Ages, and I would conclude with this, there was a theologian by the name of William of St. Terry. Now, that's not a household name, I realize, for most of us. But he had a beautiful reflection. He said, "In Christ, God has spoken his word to us. It is a beautiful word. It is, I love you." Christ, in Christ, God has spoken his word to us, a beautiful word, I love you. And that word that we see in the manger, the meaning, the heart and soul of this night, that's what it is. And that has started a revolution that you and I are called to bring to completion. You and I are called to bring that revolution to completion. We pray tonight, we might rejoice in that message of the Lord that transforms everything, that we might live it out and bring the revolution to fulfillment. Merry Christmas, and may God bless you.